Hello and welcome to the PCB Podcast, a special finale episode. I'm here today with Soojin Kim.
Hi everyone.
How's it going?
It's going well. This interview is all about you though. How's it going?
Good. I'm nervous. A lot of different people have asked me to turn the microphone around and have someone interview me. So now that I'm back in the United States with you, I thought there'd be no better person to interview me than you.
It's about time.
Yeah, Soojin's been a big fan of the podcast, listening to a lot of the episodes from the States.
Yeah, I've learned a lot just from listening to it. So it's given me a small glimpse into what it's like to be a Peace Corps volunteer. So, with that said, Matthew Crichton, what's the gist of your life story thus far?
Well, I was born and raised in Worland, Wyoming, small town of about 5,000 people. At the end of high school, decided I wanted to take a year between high school and college and become an exchange student. So I joined the Rotary Exchange Program and lived in Taipei, Taiwan for a year and learned Chinese and went to just a normal, typical Taiwanese high school. That was a great experience coming from a tiny little town to a big old city of millions of people. And yeah, it opened up the world. I came back to the States after that program ended and got my degree from Stanford in Science, Technology, and Society, which is an interdisciplinary program that let me focus on business management science classes and also get a good grounding in design. After Stanford, I went and worked at a large company called McMaster Car, which is an industrial supplier, sort of like Amazon, but for factories and, you know, people that make things. I did that for 3 years, a year in Chicago and two in Los Angeles, and part of a management track. So ended my time there as a manager of the customer information department. But I left all that to design and build and run a nomadic movie theater, like a movie theater that travels around. It doesn't have a static location in Papua New Guinea, which is a place I visited at the end of college for a summer immersion teaching program. The whole time I was working at McMaster Car, I kind of had this dream of having enough money saved up to run this theater and go back and do that. Yeah, it was probably the highlight of my life up to that point, was running that theater. And after all that was done and I handed off the cinema to local folks who are continuing it to this day, I was back in the States and I published a DVD of short films and stories from the folks that I met there. Part of the reason I wanted to run the theater was so that I could show movies and stories from my culture, from America, in the evenings, but during the day I would be interviewing folks and recording, you know, sit-down talks like this, or, you know, making short films about what day-to-day life was like for people there. So that DVD sort of was a capstone project that kind of finished everything in terms of my work with stories there. And I also have everything that was part of that project on YouTube. If you just search KRX Cinema on YouTube, you can find it. And then I decided to join the Peace Corps because I wanted to continue my work in development, but I also kind of wanted to seek out some adventure and visit a part of the world that I'd never been to before, Morocco. And that's where I've been for the last 15 months until a week or two ago. Now I'm back in the United States with you, Soojin. So how's that for the gist?
I think I would want to know what your comparison between your work in Papua New Guinea and then your work in Morocco.
Yeah, it's a very good question. I would say that my work in Papua New Guinea was kind of solo, self-funded. I did a little bit of kind of crowd support, like probably 10% of the project's funding came from the fundraising I did on Indiegogo, but it was on my own, I had a little bit of visa sponsorship and some help through Rotary. Like they did great in terms of making my visa process a little smoother with the folks in Papua New Guinea, because that takes a long time to get a volunteer development worker visa. But I had full autonomy over my project and over the work. I chose where I traveled and how long I stayed there and what I did. And I even asked one of my friends, Benjamin Hare from the U.S., to come work for me for a couple months, and hired him as a cinema assistant. So it was very much my own project. And at the end of that, I remember thinking, what would it be like to work with a group of folks on projects like this? So Peace Corps was one of the ones that I found that seemed to do kind of unconventional development work in rural parts of the globe, not just stuck to the cities and the tourist track. And we are kind of out in sights on our own for the most part, but I do think that we get to experience it together as a team. You know, we have the Facebook group, we have the Weebly, our website, you know, we also have admin. All of the wonderful folks working and supporting us in Rabat and in the country, whether it's our regional manager, or safety and security, medical team, like I didn't have any of that in Papua New Guinea. You know, I had like a medical kit that took up like a quarter of one of my suitcases that I brought with me, and then an insurance plan that would get me medevaced by helicopter if something serious happened. But in Morocco, you know, you can call up a qualified nurse and get an appointment with a doctor, and all that's paid for and covered by Peace Corps. And I just think with Peace Corps, I got to understand and know what development work was like with a team, where KRX Cinema in Papua New Guinea was a solo kind of entrepreneurship project.
What is the one thing that you've most often gifted to others?
Well, as most Peace Corps volunteers know, I am a gifter of movies of all kinds, and I brought my huge movie collection with me to Morocco, and I think most of you at this point probably have a movie or a TV show that came from my collection originally, whether you got it from me or you got it from someone else who got it from me. I shared tons and tons of movies, and that's one of my favorite things to share. I don't know if I have a favorite movie that I share the most. So I'd probably say the thing I give most often to other people is a book. It's called The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. It's a collection of poems, or they almost read like fables, written by a Lebanese-American, published back in the 1920s. It's an outstanding book. I was gifted this originally by a friend back in high school, and have probably given out a dozen, maybe two dozen copies of it to people. I turn to it and read sections of it probably a couple times a month. It's a good book. It's an important book, and it helps me think about a lot of different things. I also want to share a section from that book at the end of the podcast with everybody. There's a section in it, a short kind of poem on giving. So I'll read that at the end, so stay tuned for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful book. What are three words that your fellow PCVs would use to describe you?
Hardworking is probably the first one. I don't think I'm a smart person, and I think that today we're hearing in education that it's better to say that kids are hardworking or that they are determined. It's better to encourage that quality in folks than it is to encourage being smart. Because if you just tell people that they're smart, then when they start to struggle, they give up on things. Because then that means, oh, they might not be smart. But I've always thought that I just could kind of focus on something and work hard on something a little longer. And that's been a skill I've tried to stick with. Yeah, hardworking, one. Two, I would say thorough, or maybe detail-oriented. I have a tough time sometimes staying focused on the big picture when there's a bunch of details and things to dig into. Growing up, I loved to take things apart and try to put them back together. It didn't always work out, but I loved seeing the inner workings of things and how toys or computers or, you know, systems could kind of be pulled apart and gone through piece by piece and then changed and rearranged. So I know people on the multimedia committee would definitely say that I am a master of notes and organization, and they think that I sometimes am a little too detail-oriented when it comes to how we track the projects and the different types of work we've done, but I like that stuff. I've always liked it. So thorough. And then the third one, I'll give credit to Mike Triazzi for this. He said I was amicable, and I had always thought that that was a bad thing. I guess I misunderstood the definition when I learned it growing up. So Mike called me amicable one day, and I was like, that's not a very nice thing to say. But it turns out it kind of is an easygoing person, or I don't know if kind is the right word, but just kind of feel like I give everybody the benefit of the doubt from the start and want to get to know everyone and take time to talk with anybody. Yeah, I hope my fellow PCBs would say that I'm an amicable guy.
I would agree with all of those. So who do you look up to in the Peace Corps and why?
Well, I was just talking about Mike Triazzi, and I would say he stands out to me as a guy I look up to. We are a lot alike, and people in Peace Corps like to confuse us, especially Moroccans who, you know, don't know thousands and thousands of Americans. So we're two thin, tallish white guys with beards and similar hairstyle, so we often get mistaken for each other. But we've known each other since way back in Harhora during the initial training time in Rabat, and we ended up being roommates by chance and had a lot of good conversations. You know, we actually met back in Philly the night before we all flew out, and I just think he's a great guy with a lot of passion, and we tease each other because at times I think he can be too passionate, and at times he thinks I'm too logical, or like, but I'm not passionate enough about the things I care about. So I think as a dynamic duo, we make a good team. I'd also say the multimedia committee. I think it's an amazing committee with a lot of great people on it. Shay, Matt, and Chris, they're great people to work with, and we've done a lot over the last year. The multimedia committee and the folks in it have done a great job kind of wrangling all of these resources and trying to make them available to volunteers. And yeah, they're great people to work with. The last thing I would say is that I really look up to the new admin staff, Sue and Lisa, our new CD and head of training. I think that they kind of came into a tough situation, and they are super smart, super qualified folks that have been working their butts off. And I don't think they always get the appreciation that they deserve. I know that they listen and appreciate a lot of the feedback and changes that you know, our stage would like to make, but just because they listen to it and appreciate it doesn't mean that they're gonna do all of it. And oftentimes they see things from a different perspective than we do, and they see the big picture. And we see, you know, ourselves and our sights and maybe our close friends, but I just really think they're doing a stand-up job in a tough situation. I just appreciate that admin is there, and I know what it's like to work in development without support. So to have it, you know, from top to bottom is amazing, and I really, you know, think that my regional manager, PCMOs, everybody's great, but that admin, the new admin folks had a really tough job to do this year, and I think they're doing great and they're doing their best. I really think that this next year after the mid-service training is done is going to be kind of turning the page on some things and starting, not fresh, but starting a new chapter in everybody's service. And I'm excited to see what that looks like from afar. Yeah, I think those are the groups of people that I really look up to in Peace Corps.
What do people never ask you that you wish they did?
The best question I think someone could ask me is, what is something you're working on that you're really passionate about? I think that's just a great question to ask anybody. I love having passion projects, and they're more than hobbies, but they're less than my career. I think we often ask each other, well, what do you do for work? But that doesn't really get at, what do you do that you're passionate about? And if somebody asked me that today, I would say that there is a podcast, not this one, but a future one, that I'm hoping to work on with Sujin down the road for a project that she started called the Restorative Education Project. And I'm hoping in the future we can put together a dialogue or debate-oriented podcast around discussions on hard kind of divisive topics and bring together people with different perspectives and just have a discussion with some good ground rules about respect and listening. And I don't know if there are that many podcasts out there that bring people together and try to find common ground and try to build off of that towards something that can give us some answers for where we might want to go forward together.
Who do you wish you had interviewed, and what would you have liked to ask them?
So now that it's the end of the podcast, I'm no longer sending out invites and asking new people, but I think if I could go back, I wish I had interviewed Hoda, my regional manager, and I think she and I have become friends and really gotten to know each other through work and also just through conversation during trainings or, you know, when I happen to go through the main office. And I just think she's doing some amazing work. And I would have really liked to have asked her about what projects she's seen over the years that have meant the most to her and to communities that the PCVs have served in, you know, because they have this vantage point of seeing communities over the long run.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Matthew, for allowing me to interview you. I really appreciated getting a glimpse into the work and the life out there. And you've done an amazing job with this podcast. And I enjoyed listening to all of the different people and their different personalities and their journeys. And just the fact that you've opened up a platform for people to share their stories. It's a really beautiful thing.
I'm glad that this has been a way for us to get to know 22 people out of originally 109. 1 in 5 of us ended up on this thing. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not the most random of samples, but I did my best to have the podcast as diverse and wide-reaching as possible. I'm glad it's gotten this far. So thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Well, I think this is the end, but before I go, I wanted to share from my favorite book, The Prophet. I wanted to read everyone a section. So, then a rich man said, "Speak to us of giving." And he answered, "You give but little when you give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give. For what are your possessions but things you keep and guard for fear you may need them tomorrow? And tomorrow, what shall tomorrow bring to the overprudent dog burying bones in the trackless sand as he follows the pilgrims to the holy city? What is fear of need but need itself? Is not dread of thirst when your well is full the thirst that is unquenchable? There are those who give little of the much which they have, and they give it for recognition, and their hidden desire makes their gifts unwholesome. And there are those who have little and give it all. These are the believers in life and the bounty of life, and their coffer is never empty. There are those who give with joy, and that joy is their reward. And there are those who give with pain, and that pain is their baptism. And there are those who give and know not pain in giving, nor do they seek joy, nor give with mindfulness of virtue. They give as in yonder valley the myrtle breathes its fragrance into space. Through the hands of such as these, God speaks, and from behind their eyes, he smiles upon the earth. It is well to give when asked, but it is better to give unasked through understanding. And to the open-handed, the search for one who shall receive is joy greater than giving. And is there aught you would withhold? All you have shall someday be given. And therefore give now, that the season of giving may be yours and not your inheritors. You often say, I would give, but only to the deserving. The trees in your orchard say not so, nor the flocks in your pasture. They give that they may live, for to withhold is to perish. Surely he who is worthy to receive his days and his nights is worthy of all else from you. And he who has deserved to drink from the ocean of life deserves to fill his cup from your little stream. And what desert greater shall there be than that which lies in the courage and the confidence, nay, the charity of receiving? And who are you that men should rend their bosom and unveil their pride, that you may see their worth naked and their pride unabashed? See first that you yourself deserve to be a giver and an instrument of giving. For in truth it is life that gives unto life, while you, who deem yourself a giver, are but a witness. And you receivers, and you are all receivers, assume no weight of gratitude. lest you lay a yoke upon yourself and upon him who gives. Rather, rise together with the giver on his gifts as on wings. For to be overmindful of your debt is to doubt his generosity, who has the free-hearted earth for mother and God for father. So I think that that chapter of the prophet has been really important to me during my time in Peace Corps. And there are parts in it that really hit home with this work. There's just a lot as people in development work that we need to be reminded of when it comes to giving and receiving. That's why I wanted to share it with you all. And thank you to everybody in Peace Corps. I feel privileged to be part of the Peace Corps family and to now be in the United States as a returned Peace Corps volunteer. It's a privilege to have served with all of you. And that's it for today's show and for this podcast. I hope that there are future podcasts or projects that share stories like this. But thank you all for being a part of it and listening to it. So that's all for today. Thanks. Bye.